All right. Item 32, Lake Francis case, and Lewis and Clark Fisheries update. Is Chris available?
Yep, I'm working on sharing my screen here.
Sounds good.
Okay, can you guys see my screen now?
Yes.
Okay. Good morning, Mr. Chair, Secretary Rowling, and members of the Commission. Chris Longhenry here, Area Fisheries Supervisor in Chamberlain. Thanks for giving me some time today to provide a quick update on the fisheries of the Lower Missouri River Fisheries Management Area. These fisheries are managed by the Chamberlain Aquatic Staff, which consists of one supervisor, two wildlife biologists, and two resource biologists. In addition to the Missouri River resources, this crew also manages lakes and dams in eight counties in South Central South Dakota. Let's see. As you have heard from other presentations, 2020 was a challenging year. We did not have any seasonal or intern help other than a couple aquatic invasive species interns, which were tasked with doing the roadside inspections. Additionally, the uncertainty of COVID delayed the start of our field season. We had to prioritize our work and make some cuts from our standard work plan. One of the things that we had to cut this last year was the Francis Case Creel survey. Without our summer help, we weren't able to staff that adequately, and we decided to focus our efforts on other stuff that we could do a good job. So overall, we were still able to do most of our other standard work, such as lake surveys, paddlefish spawning, and then later in the fall, the paddlefish tagging and stocking. Lake Francis Case contains quality populations of walleye, sauger, channel catfish, and paddlefish, with walleyes being the most commonly sought species. We monitor the walleye population characteristics through our annual gillnet survey. Over the past 4 years, we have seen relative abundance, which is the average number of walleyes caught per gillnet, increase to just over 8 per net. Approximately half of these walleyes, half of the walleye sampled were over 15 inches, which is where our minimum size limit sits. So that indicates that there was plenty of legal fish available for anglers this coming year, and that anglers will likely see similar catch rates as they did in 2020. As you look at this graph, you see we just have 4 years, fairly 4 years of data included. Fairly recently, we switched gears. Otherwise, we'd have data going back to the early 80s. When we did this switch, it was so we could compare across the we switched our gill nets, and we did this so we could compare across the state and even to other areas outside of the state. In doing so, we did lose the ability to compare these recent years to our long-term data set, but over time we will be building up a new long-term data set. But what we have seen is an increase in both the number of harvestable fish and the total numbers over this shorter time period. We also look at walleye growth rates and condition of the fish in addition to our total numbers. This graph is a representation of the mean length at age. The vertical axis is length in millimeters, and the horizontal axis is our age. The blue line is our 10-year average, and the olive-colored line is the 2020 data. Overall growth in 2020 was very similar to our 10-year average, with the growth being a little higher than average for our younger-aged fish. Also, when we look at our walleye population, we look at what's called relative weight or condition, and that's really just a measurement of how much the fish weighs compared to its length. And so higher numbers are better. Lower numbers indicate that the fish are a little skinnier. In 2020, our walleyes averaged in the upper 80s on Francis Case for condition, indicating that the population is in balance with its food supply. Moving on to some paddlefish information. Francis Case is one of two places in the state that provides a paddlefish fishery. This season was reinitiated in 2012 after being closed for nearly 30 years and is managed as a limited entry fishery with 350 resident tags allocated each year. Starting last year, anglers could use either snagging equipment or archery equipment to attempt to harvest paddlefish. Compared to our Gavin's Point season, this fishery is considered more of a trophy fishery with lower catch rates, but higher overall harvest success and larger size of fish caught and harvested. Each year we see or get reports of multiple fish getting caught over 100 pounds. In 2020, tag holders harvested close to 250 out of 300 tags for a success rate of 70%. This is higher than we have seen in recent years, which generally range from 40 to 60%. Harvest is sometimes related to various conditions during the season, such as weather, how fast the spring is warming up, and then also the flow down the Missouri River compared with the flow in the White River. There's two main areas that paddle fishermen are targeting. It's primarily up in the tail race below Big Bend Dam or in the mouth and upstream into the White River. You can see the two different settings in the pictures. I think you can probably guess which one is the White River and which one is the clear Missouri River water. Let's see. Moving down to Lewis and Clark Lake. Lewis and Clark Lake is the smallest and furthest downstream Missouri River reservoir located near Yankton, South Dakota. Anglers commonly target walleye, sauger, catfish, and white bass. Lewis and Clark Lake is unique compared to the other Missouri River reservoirs, having a mix of free-flowing river, delta, and a lake section. After the water is released from Fort Randall Dam, it travels down a 39-mile stretch of the Missouri River and enters into an expansive delta that has islands, side channels, chutes, and a braided channel before entering Lewis and Clark Lake. This provides many challenges for management of fisheries in this complex open system. And this might not seem a whole lot different than some of the other reservoirs that we have in the state. However, when you compare Lewis and Clark to Francis Case or Lake Sharp, the latter two reservoirs don't really have a free-flowing river section. Their upper ends are more river-like, but they are still under the influence of the downstream dam, and so they're more similar to a lake, while Lewis and Clark Lake has river section all the way up to the next dam. Over the last 10 years, the walleye numbers in Lewis and Clark Lake have been in decline. Historically, walleye numbers in Lewis and Clark Lake have been negatively related to flow through the reservoir. The walleye population thrives in the lake during drought periods, and numbers decrease during normal to high water periods. South Dakota and Nebraska fisheries agencies have been working together on a large-scale stocking program to evaluate the effectiveness of stocking in a large reservoir to determine if we can boost the walleye numbers during the low years. Additionally, we have a research project through the University of Nebraska to look at movement and entrainment of walleye throughout the reservoir. We may be seeing during these different water regimes, we likely have walleyes moving from our lake portion to the river section or vice versa. And that really complicates the management of this lake. Our standard sampling really targets the lake portion, and we don't have a good way currently to index the walleye numbers in the the areas outside of the lake itself. The information that we get from these studies will help guide the management of the fishery and help us put resources where they can be most effective for boosting the population. Currently, the walleye population in the lake is low, but there is a high percentage that is over the 15-inch minimum and also over 20 inches. Condition of these fish are high. Average WR is right at 92, indicating there's plenty of food available for the fish that we have in the lake. Even though the numbers of the walleye in the lake are low, we have been receiving reports from anglers over the last few years that fishing has been very good in the delta and riverine stretches above the lake, which is good to hear. We know that the numbers are down in the lake, but this system is still providing anglers quality fishing opportunity. The Missouri River below Gavin's Point Dam is the other place in the state that provides a paddlefish fishery. This fishery is managed jointly with Nebraska due to it being in a border water, and a total of 3,200 snagging tags are allocated between the two states. Compared with the Francis Case season, catch rates are higher, but average size is smaller, and due to the higher harvest, a protected slot limit of 35 to 45 inches is in place. And what that does is it protects spawning size paddlefish for a number of years to ensure that we have consistent recruitment down there. Also, another major difference between the two fisheries is that the Francis Case season is maintained through stocking, while the Gavin's Point season is entirely maintained through natural reproduction. Success rates this past year were a little below average for the snagging season, but we also have an archery season component down there too, and this year archers set the record for the highest number of fish harvested, and this is with a consistent number of tags being allocated over the years. Each year, South Dakota allocates 275 tags. Nebraska does the same. And one thing you'll see here is in 2016, our harvest really jumped up and has stayed up. And that's an artifact of, in 2016, we moved the season from mid-July through mid-August to the month of June. And this was really based on some feedback that we received from anglers. They wanted to be out there bow fishing these paddlefish when the water was a little clearer. And by moving the season, it does appear that we helped them out. Oops. Overall, while challenging, the 2020 year was successful for fisheries. We overcame as many challenges as we could work-wise, and anglers were still able to enjoy quality fishing experiences. All of our data indicates that 2021 should provide similar quality fishing opportunities as well. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you guys have.
Thank you, Chris. Any questions from the commission? Comments? Commissioner Locken.
Yeah, Chris, great report. Just wondering what kind of issues you're seeing in the deeper mussels now. How is it changing the fishery?
Well, we haven't documented any change that is related to the presence of zebra mussels. Zebra mussels were first detected in Lewis and Clark, I think, in 2015, and we have seen at times the water can be a little clearer. It hasn't seemed to affect the fish populations at all yet. One of the things that we were guessing will or will not happen with these reservoirs is, in a lake setting, zebra mussels are targeting their effects on the available nutrients and whatnot that are, you know, included in the lake. However, in these reservoirs, we have a constant inflow of nutrients, which provide the building blocks for the food web. And so all these tributaries are continually providing that building block. So we don't think that we're going to have as much of an impact as, say, a closed lake system might have. We have just recently detected zebra mussels in Francis Case. I guess it'd be the fall of 2019, and we are seeing numbers of zebra mussels in Francis Case grow. One thing that with how Francis Case is managed, each year the Corps of Engineers draws the lake down 18 feet, which is going to kill off a large percentage of the zebra mussels each year, which may limit their total biomass in the lake. We'll have to see how that plays out over time. They don't draw the lake down low enough where it'll eliminate them, but I think it may keep zebra mussels a little more in check in Francis Case than some of the other places that they've been established. But right now, the short way to answer your question is we haven't seen any changes to the fishery yet.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Chris. Any additional comments or questions? All right, thank you. Good report.
Thank you.
And next up is item 33, license sales update. Heather.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, Commissioners, and Secretary Roebling. Heather Villa. I'm the Wildlife Administration Chief for South Dakota Game Fish and Parks. If you go to the very last page in your commission books, you'll see the Hunt and Fish license sales update. You'll see 2021 is starting off really strong. We have positive numbers in a lot of our columns. And when comparing to our three-year average, we are up about $570,000 on our license sales in the resident category and about $930,000 on the non-resident side, putting us at a total of being up about $1.5 million so far for the license year. As you guys know, the fishing season will be ramping up soon here with spawning, so I'm looking forward to next month's report to see how the numbers are trending. But right now, we really are in a great spot. It's still clear to folks that the outdoors are open, and I just feel really fortunate we get to help be a part of creating outdoor families and preserving these traditions that South Dakota holds so dear. I would be willing to answer any questions you all might have today.
Questions, comments from the commissioners? Commissioner Whitmire.
Yeah, thank you, Heather. I am just looking at the small game resident already. Yes, the 20th May small game is the word 2020. I would assume that has to do with the January 7th extension. So that's interesting. Yeah, thank you. Otherwise, great report.
Thank you, Commissioner Whitmire. I think it's also worth noting that we're still seeing the effects of our small game marketing work group. So I would definitely give some of that credit to them as well. They've done a fantastic job at making sure folks know that they can come to South Dakota and recreate, and that additional month was certainly helpful.
Thank you. Good observation. All right, good report. Anything else? All right, Heather, thank you. Which brings us to the end of the agenda. Thank you for all those great presentations. We're certainly looking forward to all the information we're going to receive here next month. Anything else that the commissioners would like to see or include in the next meeting? Other than more of this nice weather, I would say that would be good.
Also, if there's any field exercise on us, you know, I'd like to participate more of that, you know, if they're netting fish or doing those types of things or in out in the field, but, you know, if I still have the opportunity, if I still staff to see what they're doing.
Good reminder,
Mr. Chair.
Tom.
Mr. Chairman, Tom Kirshner, Wildlife Food Director. Thank you, Commissioner Beast, for that reminder. We'll make sure that staff keep that in the back of their minds with a lot of field projects that will be coming up with spring or open order. A big one that we'll have is walleye spawning efforts, and we're looking forward to those activities and the deliverables from that. So as we're working on those, we'll keep that in mind also for any that might be interested in go out and seeing those activities, because it is a very impressive process and a very hands-on process as well. So that we'll make sure to visit with staff about those activities.
Sounds good, thanks.
All right, if there's nothing else that we need to cover, Secretary Roebling.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and nice job, Commissioner, running the meeting here. Appreciate everybody's work. Staff, you do an outstanding job, and just wanted to say thank you for all the work that goes into these meetings. Presentations are excellent. The work we're doing on the ground is excellent, and just wanted to say keep up the good work. Thanks, and go team, GFP. So with that, Chairman, thank you.
With that, we stand adjourned.